Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. We have an interesting show for you tonight. We have Larry on his mountaintop, and we also have special guest Daniel Holdings, who has written three very interesting books, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, As the Darkness Falls, and In Between the Veils, The Things Unseen. A lot of strange stuff going on around the world today, and we're just very fortunate to have Daniel with us. Hi, Daniel. How you doing?
Hey, Stuart. Thank you so much, brother, for having me. It's good to talk to you again. It's been a while, and I'm looking forward.
Yeah. Larry, are you still with us?
I'm still sitting on the mountain, and welcome, Daniel. Good to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you, brother. Always good talking to you, Larry. You know, guys, I just have to remind you how old you two are. probably 10 years ago, and I think I've told you this before, probably 10 years ago or more, somebody gave me a CD of a recording, and they said, you got to listen to these two crazy guys. They're a hoot, but they do make some sense. And it was you all's work, you know, way back then. That started to wake me up way back then, and, you know, the Lord added to that. It's just it's interesting coming full circle. You know, just before we got on the air, you know, I said to you, Stuart, that we've been talking about all this crazy stuff that is supposed to happen, and to see it coming to pass, to see it happening before our eyes, Larry, it is startling to me to see how things are playing out.
Yeah.
Well, we knew it was going to happen. I personally thought it was going to happen much sooner than it has. But and as far as being called crazy, I've been called crazy for years, so I'm kind of used to it. But
yeah, well, it's a good crazy, though. I didn't mean that as an insult. It's a good crazy.
Oh, no.
You two certainly woke me up.
I think what we do is, how do I say this? It's a little bit on the edge. And people have just could not believe some of the things that the biblical prophets had to say. And here we are. It's coming to pass like they said it would. And, you know, that's hard to believe for a lot of people that 2,500 years ago they were uttering some of these prophecies. And like Daniel the prophet. I mean, it's all coming to pass exactly like he said it would. And I think that's where the problem is. People just don't believe, I don't think, not truly believe the Bible prophets. And as we are entering into this time of apostasy, it appears that it's even less so they believe it, even though things are coming to pass right under their face. And your books, I mean, it's just amazing that you can write stuff like this, and people think, well, that couldn't possibly be true. This is all made up. You know, it's just science fiction, when in reality it isn't science fiction at all. So what do you think about this? I know that you and Larry had talked about this very weird anomaly that occurred that rang the earth like a bell. And what is your take on that? We'll just get started with that one. There's a lot going on, of course.
Well, let me just say that those books, they're fictional thrillers, end time thrillers, and I can't take credit for them because there are so many things within the books, and Larry will tell you that have come true. So they've become prophetic in that way. But a lot of those things I didn't know. I just wrote what the Lord led me to write. And, you know, what you're asking me about is actually one of those things that were that was kind of in the book. And so I don't want to give too much away in the books, but I will tell you this, that the book is based, the first book is based on the Large Hadron Collider, which is the world's largest machine in Geneva, Switzerland, as you all know. And it's on the border, actually of France and Switzerland. And so one of the storylines in that book, and it just kind of popped into my head when I wrote it. I remember when I wrote it. It's probably almost, you know, 10, 8, 9 years ago now. The storyline popped in my head about this experiment and what would happen if a high-powered collision occurred at the Large Hadron Collider, what would happen to the Earth? And so the storyline of the book is, and it's just a small short storyline, just a mention really about the wave of that collider. It's a time-space distortion, if you will, goes all the way up into space and through the Earth to the antipole on the other side and goes out the other side. And what it does is it changes time by 3 minutes in that little section. And, you know, it actually does something to the Earth. Now, I didn't actually spin that. Now that I think about it, I meant to, but I didn't. I didn't spin that description out any further in the second book. The second book, it's a series, and so the second book is, as you mentioned, As the Darkness Falls, and something that happens in As the Darkness Falls is the world begins to tear itself apart with earthquakes, tsunamis, as well as other stuff that's occurring. But interestingly enough, Stuart, what kicks all of that off, and this is what I mean by seeing, you know, we've been talking about these things for so long, and now we're beginning to see them happen. What kicks all of that off in the book was a earthquake in Alaska and around the Aleutian Islands that generated a tsunami that circled the Earth. And so when that Alaskan earthquake happened yesterday or day before, one of the things that happened is that the Holy Spirit quickened me to what I actually read in that book. And so it made me start thinking about what would have happened to the Earth if this wave went through. And then Drudge, I had seen this article, you know, a few days before, but Drudge reposted an article about this wave, this real wave that you talked about that went through the Earth. And again, the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention, and I was stunned by what I realized. Because, as you know, this wave was an absolute anomaly. It has never happened before. It is not natural. Let me just say that. Because what you're talking about is it's actually an ultra low frequency wave that ran through the whole Earth, was registered. Now, this is not Daniel Holding's book. This is real time. It registered all over the world, and it was all in the same frequency. Now, that doesn't happen because an earthquake or seismic activity is normally all over the board. That's what happens. It's all over the board. It's not congruent. But this was the congruent wave that went throughout the whole Earth and caused many earthquakes, if you will. So the question is, of course, Larry, did that wave precipitate the Alaska earthquake? And is it causing other earthquakes around? So is that the beginning of what, you know, the Lord showed me in As the Darkness Falls with all those earthquakes? That's the big question.
Do you tie this in any way to CERN? And Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, you know, the interesting thing about the wave is it had a very interesting function by occurring on 11/11. And as Stuart, as you say, 11-11 and 2018 is 11, so 11-11-11. And we've been getting so much 11-11s, the prophetic people and those that are sensitive, a lot of that's been popping up on clocks. And, I mean, everybody's registered it, you know, and we've had email after email of 11-11s being shown to them, and nobody knows why. But now we have an 11-11-11. And at the same time, guys, I don't know if you've kept up with it much, but CERN has pretty much gone silent. We're not getting the real-time data anymore of the experiments and other stuff. It's not there. What do y'all think?
Well, sir, you just asked me the question, did I think that it had to do with CERN? I absolutely think it has to do with CERN. So let me tell you what I don't think it has to do with, though. There's a lot of talk that this is a result of weather warfare, you know, geothermal warfare, like HAARP and that sort of thing. But you have to understand that HAARP is a high-frequency machine. And if HAARP was shut, because we know this, we've seen the HAARP pattern on, you know, in radar and in various issues with earthquakes and such, it's not congruent, so it can't be HAARP, right? And it's ultra high frequency, so therefore it can't be HAARP. Again, the signature of this wave was ultra low frequency. Now that's the kind of frequencies that the military uses as an example to find submarines and that kind of thing. Now you asked me if I thought that it had to do with the Large Hadron Collider. The Large Hadron Collider is only 5,000 miles away from this place that it happened. Now, so that's not a lot. That's, you know, that's a lot of distance, but that's not a lot of distance when it comes to, you know, going through the Earth. It takes a shortcut as a crow flies, if you will, or as a, in this case, a groundhog crawls. I don't know, something like that. But the point is that I don't know of anything else as powerful that exists in the arsenal today that could cause that other than the Large Hadron Collider and be consistent with the information that we've seen thus far. And, I say this because you mentioned, I believe, the strength, or Stuart, it might have been you, the strength of the, experiments that are going on, but we're not getting any data. Now, we know, Anthony Patch and I talked a couple of years ago, and Anthony, as you probably had him on before, but Anthony has done extensive work on the LHC. And, he and I were comparing notes. What we deduced at that time, that was 2 years ago almost, that HAARP was running beyond 13 TeV. Now, that's terravolts. That is like unbelievable power. But they were pegging that sucker even way back then. So that's almost 2 years in the past. And I just talked to a source today that says, Daniel, they are absolutely blowing that away. They are absolutely cranking that sucker so far up that, no, Larry, you're right, they can't report that because they're going to break something and they don't want the heat for it. So, I mean, what they're trying to do is a different question, and we'll get there in just a moment. But the fact is that they are running that at such a high speed in the Earth. Now, remember that the Large Hadron Collider is buried 600 feet underground, right? It's already underground. And depending on how that energy is directed, is it directed up in space or is it directed to the Earth? Well, if it's directed toward the Earth, or depending on how they're shielding it, it could very well be going into the Earth and causing what we're seeing now. My other point is this, that as far as data from CERN goes, Larry, even if they told us what they were doing, we wouldn't believe them. So there's some information that they've put out. They're in the middle of they're stripping ions off of lead, and they're doing collisions with lead ions right now, which lead in and of itself is very heavy. And you know, if they are, and I see, I don't even believe them. So it's almost a waste of time to talk to them and talk about it, because I don't even know that this is really what they're doing. But on their calendar, they are doing, according to CERN, they're doing lead ion collisions with some nuances, plasma waves, and that kind of thing that they're doing. But the point is that even if they told us what they were doing, I probably wouldn't believe them because they're lying through their teeth. So the question is, what are they really doing down there? So let me back up. Yes, Stuart, I think the LHC, in answer to your question, is the culprit. I think this is definitely the reason that we're seeing the Earth ring like a bell, like it did. This begs the question, what are they trying to do exactly? So before I give you my two cents worth, what do you guys think? What is it that they're trying to do at the LHC?
Larry.
Well, it's very interesting because we do understand from prior data and prior reports and even some whistleblowers actually that they want to actually penetrate another dimension. They want to open up a doorway or a portal and penetrate and open up into another dimension. And that takes power. That takes a lot of power. Stuart, what do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of like the movie Stargate, where they, you know, they took a tremendous amount of power to make it operate. But that was a, either it creates a wormhole or it's a dimensional jump. And I got a feeling that's probably what they're after, and maybe even time travel. You know, if they want to stop Messiah from coming back or even having come the first time, they would have to somehow jump time and go back and take care of that situation, because you could take care of Mary or whoever in that lineage and destroy them. Now, they don't really believe the Bible enough to know that probably the Lord would never allow anything like that. But these guys really are, I think they're insane. I don't know any other way to put it. Because
I think they're demonically inspired, if nothing else.
That would be a good way to word it. They're demonically inspired. So they at all costs don't want the real Messiah to return. And, of course, we've got a host of Christians that probably don't either, because they're too much married to the world to want him to come back right now. Mm-hmm. But what I'm getting at here is, if they are punching holes into other dimensions, and we saw some pictures that they actually claimed came out of CERN, one with a star field that they claimed occurred, then there was several with what appeared to be demonic faces that they saw coming through. And then, of course, Patch, he's the one who was talking about how dark energy attracts demonic forces. Anyway, what's your take?
Well, again, I mean, and you guys have to forgive me because I've been out of this esoteric realm for a little while anyway. I'm actually ghostwriting and researching on various projects right now, and so my head is down, and I'm actually working to make a buck, and it's very important work that I'm doing, but I don't get a lot of time to do the kind of research that I used to do. So what I'm leaning on is information that was gleaned, you know, a couple years ago when I was actually neck deep into this kind of stuff. Now, back then, we have to think about this, because this is 2018. So I'm talking, you know, probably 2017, 2016. This is what they were doing. Their stated goal, it wasn't a whistleblower that said that they were trying to breach into another dimension. It was actually their lead scientist that said that. Their lead researcher said that. Above board, it wasn't hush-hush, it wasn't secret. It was a stated goal. And guys, that was a stated goal that was one of their goals in the book, 3 days in the belly of the beast. It's something that the Lord showed me, that they were trying to do that, and he showed me that long before they ever said they were trying to do that. So that's the first thing. So I have to compare what is actually going on with those things that the Lord showed me. So that was one of the first things that the Lord showed me. The second thing is just what you said, Stuart, is that they have seen entities, if you will, from the other side. There was a real experiment called Operation Falling Star, where they actually saw an entity and it shut everything down. In fact, Larry, I think you sent me years ago. You sent me, a newspaper that actually talked about this thing in German or something like that. I've lost track of it
yes.
now. But the point is that that's what they saw and that's what they've done. That was years ago. Now, this is what bothers me, guys. That was years ago. And as long as, a year and a half, 2 years back, they were running beyond 13 TeV, meaning an unbelievable
yes.
speed. Okay. So what are they trying to do now? Well, before I go there, you mentioned something else, about changing, going back in time. And this is weird talk, and I wrestle with this from time to time, and I've never actually talked about this on the radio because it's a subject all in and of itself, but I think it's an important one to broach right now simply because you brought it up, Stuart. There is a mm-hmm. thought process called there is a thing called the Mandela effect, and I'm sure you guys
yes.
have heard what the Mandela effect is. Now, guys,
yeah.
I have personally experienced some things, right, as far as this I don't even know what to call it. This thing goes, the Mandela effect. And for your audience benefit that may not know what the Mandela effect is, Nelson Mandela supposedly died and was buried. And there are other people that remember his burial and his death at a different time. And that started this conversation about, wow, didn't he die back then? And other people are saying, yeah, I thought he died back then. And they were convinced that this had happened. So people that were remembering two different timelines, if you will. Now,
right.
that's not the only thing, is this weird example of Mandela's death. There's little stuff like Chick-fil-A. And I remember, this is something I remember. I'm from California where Chick-fil-A started, I think. And Chick-fil-A, as I remembered it, was CHIC-FIL-whatever. If you look at the signs today, that's not what Chick-fil-A says. It says CHICK-whatever. So people are going, well, it's always said that. And, you look back at the company's history, and that's what they said. They said it's always been that. But I swear, it I'm telling you now, it used to be spelled C-H-I-C, and other people remember it disassociated with me. Other people remember it like that as well. And those are only two examples. I mean, there's other examples. The other – one of the particularly disturbing examples is a couple things out of the King James Bible that are different now. Now,
yes.
Stuart, this is a quiz, okay? And you probably know the scenario, the Mandela effect. But if I said to you, what animal lays down with the lamb, what would everybody tell me?
The lion.
Out of the Bible. The lion.
Yes. Yeah.
If you look at the Bible now, it doesn't say that. The lion does not lay down with the lamb. It says that the wolf lays down with the lamb. And yeah, we have
then the lion comes along. Then the lion comes along and eats both the wolf and the lamb. They're going to change this all around anyway. They've been doing this to the Bible right along, Go ahead.
The point is that we have ministries that are named Lion and Lamb Lip Ministries, right? There are a ton of them.
Yes.
Right? Lion and Lamb. So there is something changed in the Bible right now. Okay. Can they actually do that? It's a whole discussion in and of itself. And, I think when you get down to the original language, no, they can't do that. It's God's word. But this is the kind of thing that he puts a stop to. He comes back and he puts a stop to. So have they corrupted the timeline as far as the Bible goes? Well, there are some that say, according to the Mandela effect, that, yeah, they have. And so your analogy about taking out Mary as an example, could they do that? I don't know. Maybe they are, in fact, trying. So it goes back to the question of what is their motivation? Larry, what do you think their motivation is? What do you think they're trying to do?
Well, their ultimate motivation has to be to get rid of the Lord. I mean, that's right there in Psalm 2. That's their whole hope. So it would have to, in some way or another, be tied to either fooling everybody or whatever like that. What do you think, Larry?
Well, I think that you're right, that their ultimate reason is to either stop or delay the coming of the Lord or even his birth, possibly. But also in Psalm 2, if you'll remember well, you know, he has a people, and it could very well be to either discourage or deceive or cause the people to have less trust in the word itself, which is really their foundation.
Yes. So they could somehow. Are you familiar with Jonathan Cleck at all, Daniel?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. He's got these dollar bills and the pictures on the dollar bills. And one of them that is extremely striking is the one in which they were predicting Oklahoma City and the taking out of the Murrah building in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture is exactly like what actually happened. And so Larry and I have sometimes speculated, well, how did they do that? Can they actually remote view or travel in time? Obviously, the Lord's not going to let them fool with it too much, because otherwise you could destroy biblical prophecy. And Jesus said not one dot, not one tittle is ever going to pass from those prophecies at all, which means they can't fool that much. Even if they can time travel, they can't fool around that much with the big events. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, the issue of because John has done, like, I've seen videos about where he's done this with, there's a dam, Hoover Dam, I think, is what he's talked about.
Yes.
How they plan on destroying it as well. So, you know, it is stunning how those pictures actually line up. But as far as CERN's motivations, now, okay, look, you got, I think there are layers to these scientists, right? You got the average scientist, the snot-nosed kid scientist that goes over there and he's really excited and he's got a job there and it's, you know, they're searching for, you know, the Big Bang or dark matter, whatever they're doing. And he's excited. So you got that layer. And he doesn't really know anything. He's not in cahoots with anybody. He's just green. So there's that guy.
Yes.
And then you have other people that have been there for a while, and they believe in the mission of CERN. And I got to believe that there are people like that. But they're not involved in, you know, the demonic leadership or whatever the case may be. They got a job. They're happy to have it. You know, they might be scientists. They're interested. But then you have sold out people that are Luciferians, Satanists. And you guys know as well as I do that Satan believes in God, right? He believes in the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? He believes in Jesus. He knows exactly who he is. So I think there's a deeper echelon of leadership there that is absolutely invested in this idea of what you're talking about. How do we stop him? You know, on the surface, the green kid or maybe the guy that just works there says, look, we don't believe in God. We, you know, we're scientists. We believe in science. Okay, so those guys probably mean what they say. But again, you have this other group, this deeper group of leadership that absolutely believe in Satan as their leader. And so therefore they believe in the antithesis of Satan, which is God. And they are going to try to do anything that they can to thwart his efforts, right, to thwart his coming. But at the heart of this, and this is the key to everything, and I think if we can keep this in mind, then anything else they do is not going to really bog our minds anymore, because we're going to go, oh, okay, that's why. At the key of everything, could it be that they're trying to change time? Yes. Could it be that they're trying to change the timeline? Yes. Could it be that they're trying to open a door to, you know, to this other dimension? Yes. Could it be that they're trying to, and I wrote this in the book, that they're trying to open the abyss? And yes, they could. I think that's what they're trying to do. Ultimately, because they are demonically inspired and Satan hates us, they want to destroy the world. That's what their ultimate goal is. And even those deeper level scientists don't understand this. Right? They just think they're working for the big guy. They're the little guy, whoever he is, Satan. Right? They just think they're doing his you know, bidding. But the fact is that Satan at his heart hates us, and he wants to destroy us. So everything else that they're doing, despite what the storyline might be, it is to kill, steal, and destroy. He hasn't changed his operation at all. It is the way he's always been, and he will always be that way. So if we keep that in the back of our mind, that ultimately that machine, as controlled by Luciferians, is designed to destroy the planet, then I think we get closer to the truth. Not that they're outright doing that. Not that, you know, CERN's got this underlying motto, let's kill the planet. That's not what they're getting at. But ultimately, because they are being led by demonic entities and even Satan himself probably, that's the end goal. The end goal is destroy the planet. Maybe I'm overstating it, though.
No, that sounds quite reasonable, because we do know that's the end goal. Ultimately, as you said, Satan hates the human race. He just wants to destroy us. It's a spite operation. He's so livid at the Lord that it's kind of like the far left now. They've lost all, how do I word this, all objectivity. There's no reason. Larry and I have often called it a domestic.
You said there's no reason. They lost their minds. It's like, it's crazy. Somebody hit them in the head or something. I don't understand. But anyway, when it comes to what they're trying to do, though, as far as – so the end goal is that they're trying to destroy the Earth. They don't even know it. But what they're trying to do, I think one of you guys said that they're trying to open up a bridge, a door to another dimension. I think that is absolutely what they're trying to do. But they think, again, because they're motivated by Lucifer and his cohorts, they think that maybe they want to bring them over here. Because remember, and I always wondered about this, you know, it says in Revelation that the abyss has keys, right? And that when the abyss is open, that they get a hold of those keys and they open the abyss. Now, what are those keys exactly? Well, I postulated in 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast that those keys was CERN. And I think I'm right. I think that's what they're trying to do. And I think what you're seeing, as far as these waves go, are how am I going to say this? I think those waves and the earthquake and those things, that's not their end goal. That's a byproduct of what they are doing, right? Now, but that byproduct, to get back on track with your original question about what do I think about those waves, that byproduct, I think, has changed everything as far as the Earth goes. You know, it was Nikola Tesla that talked initially about telegeodynamics, right? Telegeodynamics. And we see a form of this now in oil exploration and that kind of thing, where they use electromagnetic, you know, Earth resonance to uncover seismic, you know, areas where they can search for oil and stuff like that. Now, they use acoustics for one, and they use low frequency, or he postulated that they would use low frequencies. And sure enough, this is what we're seeing. And, you know, the theory is that it oscillates at this very low frequency. And what it does is, according to him, it would bounce back and you know, they would be able to find whatever they're looking for. And I think inadvertently, that's the word I was looking for, inadvertently, and they don't really care, but inadvertently what they have done with CERN is by trying to open up this door, trying to perhaps, you know, do time travel, they have caused this oscillation in the Earth that they can't stop. They can't fix it. It started. And I think when you see this earthquake in Alaska, and there's not the only activity, you know, there's other seismic and volcanic activity leading up to that event. But I think just, you know, I made a note here. In Alaska, just this last day, they've had 545 earthquakes just in Alaska. And you know that Alaska is at the top of the Rim of Fire. So
yes.
I think what they've done is, whether they meant to or not meant to, but what they've done is they started this chain of events that you're actually going to see this uptick. In fact, I know this is what the Lord told me when I was just talking. There's one of the reasons I called Larry the other day. We were just talking, and I said, this is what the Lord showed me. They've actually started this, you know, all the things that he showed me, that the Lord showed me in those books, they've started that process, that countdown, if you will, because of what they've done. And again, it wasn't their main goal. They didn't say, let's wreck the earth. It was just a byproduct of what they thought they were trying to do, which was probably to open up a crack or a door to another dimension to let the entities in, or whatever the case may be. At least that's my two cents.
Well, that's kind of interesting, because Stan Dale made mention, Larry, you probably remember this, that a lot of the weapons that are being made now, all the high-tech stuff of which we know nothing about, I guess if you watch the movies, you probably figure out what they're into, that ultimately it is to fight the Lord at his return. If they can't, and I've often wondered, do you suppose if they could punch a hole through to another dimension, wormhole, whatever, that they could possibly have a route of escape? You know, the rich men do everything to try and get out of this. Once they finally figure out that he's coming back, they go into the mountains, they go under the oceans, they go to Mars, they go to Moon, or who else, wherever else they've got to try and hide. And he says, well, doesn't matter where you go, I'm going to come get you. Kind of stupid in a way to, challenge your creator?
Well, I see, that's true. From our standpoint, from our perspective, that's pretty dumb, because we recognize who he is, but you got to understand that they are brainwashed, right? They've, in their mind, everything is flipped around. They have this idea that God is the bad guy and the devil's the good guy, that God has been unjust to Satan and his cohorts, right? That's what they believe. And that he's not who he says he is, right? That Satan's, because this is the lie. Right, the lie was that I'm going to be like the Most High. So that's the lie that Satan has spun even amongst his own ranks. So it's also the lie that he's propagated with his human helpers, if you will, right? So, yes, I think, and I've heard Stan say this before, but I think that is exactly right. I think they will try to pull out all the stuff. See, when we read, you know, we read Revelation, we look at the Battle of Armageddon, it's all this weird stuff, right? And I've heard it said that, you know, maybe the locust with scorpion tails were, you know, helicopters, or they were tanks, or they were this, or they were that. I'm with you. I mean, I don't think we know what they have in their arsenal. And I do think that they will try to unleash all hell, if you will, on the Lord when he comes back. Because they have to. They have, and, you know, in the end, this is where the stupidity comes in that you're talking about. I mean, the Bible says that it's not even a contest. It says in Isaiah, right, that it says in Revelation, somebody asked him, somebody asked the Messiah, who did this? And he says his robes are stained with blood, right, up to his waist. And he says, I did this and no one helped me. He does it all by himself. Right, so it's not even a contest, but they're gonna. That doesn't mean they're not gonna try. You know, the devil will try whatever he has to. And you're right, I hadn't thought about an escape route. Maybe they're trying to worm their way out of that battle after all, or maybe flank the Lord in some way or something. In the end, it's not even gonna matter. But it doesn't mean they're not gonna try, because they also have read the part where they get thrown in the lake of fire, and that.
you know, that wouldn't be too appealing. I'm just saying, if I was one of those guys, I'd want to do whatever I could not to end up in the lake of fire. You know, and there's no forgiveness for them, so you know, they're going to do whatever they can to try to get out of it. But in the end, it's not going to matter. But I'm with you. I think that they will pull. And you're absolutely right about the weapons. I mean, there are things that we cannot even conceive. Larry, you remember? You and I talked about this. I think a couple of years ago. Remember, there was a couple big explosions in China at some plants or
yes.
something.
And, it was in a movie, actually.
Was it in the movie? Well, there were two separate.
What was the name of that, Larry? It had Steven Seagal in it.
Oh, did
say again?
I don't remember it.
Yeah, Siege. Siege 2 or something like that, wasn't it?
Yes, Siege 2. Under Siege 2. And they used a satellite weapon to take out some stuff in China. And the guy who built it became basically insane and decided to take it over for himself. But those kind of things are all based on what's going on. I've often thought Hollywood gets an awful lot of its stuff right out of deep state.
It's fed to them. Right. I think you're absolutely right. Well, you know, we talked about this being probably a rail gun because it didn't leave any explosive residue. And so a lot of people have actually said that. So, you know, my point is that there is stuff out there. If you and I know what a rail gun is, what else do they have that we have no clue about? You know, and rail gun is probably – the other thing is when you look at some of the creatures that are in Revelation that will fight, right? Could that be some of those creatures? Could it be that some of those were genetically modified humans that they've they're doing this freely?
That's where The Mist came from, the movie The Mist. Remember?
Yeah.
They opened up a portal.
Yeah, so
maybe that was not so science fiction as we thought.
I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think a lot of times I don't know if they have a direct connection to the CIA, but I certainly think they have a direct connection to the devil. And if the devil can think this stuff up and then make it happen in the physical realm, then, you know, he's not, you know, it's not above him to leak it out to people for movies and stuff, I don't think. But, you know, I think Stan's right. I think they will pull out all the stops, and whatever it takes to keep the Lord from coming back, then they're going to try. You know, something else that Anthony Patch and I talked about a while back was the fact that they were using a working quantum computer with CERN.
Yes.
Now, the thought of that, guys, the thought of that alone, that's scary. Because people don't understand the power of a quantum computer and what it could do. In the hands of the wrong people, or the wrong entities, if you will, the quantum computing power that they are capable of. This is what I mean when I say, you know, I was only keeping up with it up until, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. What have they done now? Because with quantum computing, you know, it said that technology doubles every 6 months. Actually, it's probably faster than that now. But with quantum computing, it doubles every week probably or less. So
where are they
now with their stated goals? I have no idea.
Well, I think that's why they're so worried about AI. This thing can take over. And in fact, it kind of is the mythology of the Israeli mythology of the golem, where it starts out, how can I help you? Then it kind of becomes our equal, and then it becomes our master. And that kind of like what the computer has become. First it was to help us. Now it's at least our equal. And very, very soon it may well become our master, where they feed everything into this computer system, and it spits out, well, okay, you got to go kill off 40 million over here, maybe 20 million over here, et cetera, et cetera. And the computer is actually running humanity. What do you think?
Well, you know, Steve Quayle came out with a new book this last year, I think January or something, called Terminated. And it talks about all the technologies that are designed to kill us off. Toward the end of the book, he actually postulates that it is AI that becomes the bestial system. It is the beast, and it's fed by everybody. And when you think about it, that actually kind of makes a lot of sense, because
yes.
AI will have to keep track of, you know, every single transaction, right? Because it's data hungry, right? So it'll have
right.
to keep track of every single transaction. Well, how can it do that with cash, or how can it do that, you know, with under the table? No, it will cause everyone to take a mark so it can keep track. Not because it's inherently evil, although it probably is, but when it gets to be self-aware, it will cause everyone to have to take a mark so it can do its job. And its job is to keep track of every transaction, everything that is bought and sold. And if you don't take that mark, whether it be a chip or whatever, then you're not going to be able to participate, and therefore you're not going to be able to eat. So, you know, he goes into detail about that in his new book. But I think that is entirely possible. The thing about AI is they have, I think it was Ray Kurzweil that said that he thinks that AI will become self-aware right around singularity, right around 2027, I think is what he said. But there are all kinds of things happening right now that are kind of freaky that people have no clue about that are shaping all of our futures. For instance, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this before, you know, 5G is coming online.
Yes, that's a big part of it.
Well, it's like a three-legged stool, if you will. It's 5G coming online, which ultimately will be controlled by AI. The new phones are coming out in 20, and that'll be done by 2021. The new phones are coming out by 2021, and the new phones will have onboard AI. Right now, your phone... your smartphone uses AI, but it's got to go up to the cloud to use it because AI exists on servers wherever. Eventually it'll actually be in your hand, and it will know everything about you. And you won't be able to turn it off. It'll know everything about you. So that's another thing that's happening in 2021. The other thing that's happening in 2021 is there's these new satellites that are being shot into the atmosphere. There's a crazy number of them. I mean, and to the size of a small refrigerator, they have AI on board, right? So this has never happened, but that's supposed to happen by 2021. And then the crazy thing is that it was Elon Musk that I think initially said this, but this is a real thing that they're trying to push. They're trying to tether Wi-Fi from here to the moon. And the idea that some people are saying is that from the moon – they have a perfect view of the Earth, and you can't turn them off, and it'll be AI-centered. And you hear just this week that, you know, we're going to have a permanent moon base within 10 years or something is what NASA's saying. So, you know, all of this stuff is going on in the background, and it's all AI-centered, and people just have no clue.
Yeah, and it's going to envelope them without them really realizing what's happening. I mean, we are already in a huge system of control. I wrote a blog on Independence Day some time ago, and it was, what do you think you're independent of? And, you know, if you go down through the whole list of food, transportation, clothing, everything, you're dependent totally on this system that they've developed. I mean, you can, but people don't think anything about it.
No, it is like, you know, it is like the frog being boiled in water, Stuart, honestly. It's like,
yeah,
we don't even know that our goose is cooked. it's happening as we're sitting here. We have no idea. But it is, you know, it is the world that we live in.
Yeah. What's your take on what's going to happen in the immediate future? What do you think is coming?
Well, I think it's going to be a war. And I've been saying this for a while, but, you know, one of the things about when Trump got in, I think we got a reprieve. I don't think it put an end to anything, but I think it did give us time. It gave us a
more
reprieve.
Time. Yeah,
and a couple years anyway. But I, you know, I have heard it said, and actually it was Steve Willis, is that after September, everything changed. And he's right, I think, because you're seeing those changes happen. I think things are changing in the natural realm, the political realm, in the social realm. I think you're seeing them change in the supernatural realm. So I think in every echelon, we are seeing moves or changes that are, frankly, giving me pause about where we're at right now. I think you're going to see, as far as the natural realm goes, you're going to see an uptick in seismic activity, volcanic activity, so much so that it's going to make your head spin. You know, that if you thought a 7.0 earthquake in Alaska was bad, pucker up, California, because I think, you know, you're not far off. And I'm from California. I live in Kentucky now, thank goodness, but, you know, I have family in California. So I'm not making light of it at all. But I think you're going to see the Ring of Fire just take off. It already has started, you know, accelerating, but you're going to see it accelerate even more. I think you're going to see the market crash. You know, I was actually in the financial business back in 2000 when the tech bust happened, and I'm telling you, it looks a lot like that to me right now. And the problem with the fiat currency system is that they have never fixed it from the last time it busted. In fact,
yes,
they have propagated that problem all over the earth now. You have those derivatives that are actually been included in all kinds of portfolios all over the world. Earth, and when it happens, it will be devastating. It will not be just a recession. It will be a depression or worse. I think anytime you have financial issues in the world, you have countries that come up with ideas for war to have a distraction. And I do believe that we are going to see. We're in war now. In fact, it's like we're in perpetual war. You notice that? We've been at war,
yes,
in the Middle East for 18 years or something. So, but I think what you're going to see is a world war. And I think you're going to see the big players there. I don't know how long it's going to last. You know, it was Einstein that said, somebody asked him what weapons will they fight World War III with? And he said, I have no idea, but we'll fight World War IV with sticks and stones.
Yeah.
Because there won't,
yeah,
be anything left. So I think you're going to see war. And then as far as the supernatural, Stuart, I'm one of these guys that happen to think that we are in the midst of the great falling away. Because I've looked at the statistics, and people are not only walking away from the Lord in droves, they are walking. They are not just not believing in the Lord. They're just not. It's not a part of their lifestyle. This generation, millennials,
yep,
for that matter, for the most part, they don't believe in God. And if they do believe in God, they just believe in Him, right? But it's not really, you know, if you believe
it's
in
nebulous.
Him, you know, if you know Him, does He know you?
Yep.
Is what the question is. So I think we are in the midst of. This great falling away that the Bible talks about. And I think it'll accelerate in the next just few years. I think you're going to see you know, well, it's already getting to the point where Islam is, you know, favored over Christianity in many circles, politically correct anyway. I think you're going to see this division between the left and the right accelerate, and I think we could very well see a civil war. You know, the funny thing is, I just reminded myself, all that stuff are in those books. I just, you know, when I wrote those books, the Lord showed me all those things, and they're in there. So this is not anything that I haven't said before. I just think we're that much closer to it. And I think, as I said when I started, I think it is all coming down. I think we are, I think our time of reproof is over. I think, I don't know if Trump's going to get assassinated or if he's going to get impeached or whatever the case may be, but I don't see him as having a second term. And I think what the government will turn into will be absolutely frightening. I think it's already frightening, but I hate to sound paranoid, but I think, I mean, you can't even flush your toilet without them telling you how much water you use. That's how bad it is. Crazy to be.
Larry, do you have any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
I think it's all coming down.
Yeah, we got about four minutes.
I wanted to read something, and I can't prove one word of it. Only thing I can prove is that our admiral that was commanding the U.S. 5th Fleet was found dead in Bahrain, and there was a suicide note. And because of what Daniel said, and I still can't prove any of this other than the admiral appears to be dead because I verified that, but he has inside sources that say this, that part of that note, that suicide note, it said that it told of a plan to start World War III and that they would intentionally go nuclear in this plan and that the U.S. military will not be under Trump or the U.S. government control as this happens. And so, you know, if that's not true, then we shouldn't worry about it. But if that is true, if this is the plan, and Daniel said he believed we would have some nuclear exchanges, what do you think, Daniel?
Guys, I think it's time to pucker up because I think it's coming. I think it's all coming down. And I hate to sound so pessimistic, because, and I'm not really, because at the end of this, we've read the end of the book, right? We know what happens.
Yes.
There's no better time to walk with the Lord. If you haven't been on your face and talking to him and worshiping him, you know, I suggest everyone do that. We need to check our hearts and check our lives before him. We need to be in his word. You know, we need to know the truth. You can't walk in the truth if you don't know the truth. And the way that you know the truth is to know him and to be in his word. So there's not a better time, because we are out of time, folks. I mean, you can prep all you want to do. In the end, that's just physical stuff, right? The one that has the keys to your future, the keys to your eternal future, is the person that you need to prep with, and that's God.
Amen.
So I think you're absolutely right, Larry. I think it's all coming down. I really do.
How do they reach you, Daniel? How do folks that are listening reach you?
Well, I got a couple websites. It's danielholdings.com. That's my ghostwriting site and stuff. You find some contact information. My books are on there. The CooperChronicles.net is my other site. CooperChronicles.net, and you can get my books there. And, you know, I haven't posted any news or anything for a long time, but there's other interesting stuff there that you can take a look at.
Yeah, well, this has been fascinating, and this particularly this dimension jumping and portals, because after all, the Bible talks about portals and gateways, so I guess we're just catching up to something that the Lord knew about forever. So anyway, Larry, thanks for coming on. Any final thought?
Yeah, I just want to thank Daniel for coming on, and thanks for his pep talk, or exhortation, if you will, for people to prep with the Lord.
Well, thank
Absolutely.
You, Larry. It's always good talking to you, brother.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you coming on. That was That's fascinating. I'm always into this paranormal stuff, and when you see all these movies and you see what they actually have out there, because I think that's where they get most of it from. Yeah, it's just fascinating stuff. Anyway, thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. Thanks an awful lot, Daniel, for coming on. Thanks, Larry, for coming on. And we'll do an update if an emergency situation arises. Otherwise, probably see you on Wednesday. Anyway, good night, everyone.